KBBS, 1450 AM, 103.5 FM, and we're streaming through our website online at BighornMountainRadio.com. I'm Brady Safranik, and joining me this morning, Christina Schmidt, Public Information Specialist with Wyoming Game and Fish. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning.
We're going to talk about a few different things here this morning. First, it's hunting season, so we'll talk hunting. And mainly, the people need to be familiar with regulations and rules before they head out.
Yeah, it's is the time of year when people are heading out, and like you and I had visited, sometimes people get in the mindset that the seasons are the same as last year, or the restrictions in certain hunt areas are the same as last year, because maybe they've been that way for several years. But just want to remind folks, you know, we do have changes every year that could include earlier or later opening dates, earlier or later closing dates, different restrictions on license types in certain areas. So just a reminder to grab those regulations before you go out. Take a look at them online. You can download them to your phone. You know, last year we did have a shortage on printed copies. We do have printed copies now. So please do grab a copy. Take a look before you go. Read through. Make sure you don't have any questions. And if you do, give a call to the front office. Our front office folks can answer your question or find someone who can, just to make sure you're clear and understand before you go out in the field what the requirements are.
And if people are out and about hunting and they see a game check station, they do have to stop whether or not they have harvested an animal.
Yes.
Is that correct?
That is correct. And there is some confusion every year on that. We have game check stations set up. They are well marked with signs as you approach them. And a lot of folks every year drive by because they think, well, I don't have anything, so I don't need to stop. But it is required that you do stop. If you are hunting, whether or not you have harvested an animal, you do still need to stop. So those check stations are set up mostly to collect biological data. So if you have harvested an animal, a biologist will visit with you a little bit, take note of the gender, get an approximate age, find out where you were. It just gives our biologists some good information on what kind of harvest we are seeing. And of course, in some cases, taking a disease sample, depending on what area you were in, might be looking for chronic wasting disease samples or brucellosis samples. So even if you didn't harvest an animal, it is still good information for us to know, just to see whether or not folks are successful or not, where they're hunting, that kind of thing. So make sure you stop. We do try to spend just a few minutes, get you right back on the road. We know everyone's busy and wants to get back out there. So please do stop. We'll get you right back on the road pretty quick. And it's your chance to visit with a biologist, ask questions, things like that.
Sure. And if people are out hunting and they happen to see a violation that someone else may commit, what should they do?
We have a hotline that operates 24 hours. So obviously trying to call a game warden is during the hunting season. They're generally not anywhere near an office or home. So we have had for many years a hotline that folks can call. So that's 877-WGFD. TIP, and it runs 24 hours a day, which is really nice. And a dispatch personnel will visit with you, get information, and then they can get in touch with the warden that might be closest to you. So it is a fantastic tool for addressing these kinds of things. So if you see what you think might be a violation, best thing to do is be a good witness. Don't approach the person. Don't confront them. Just be a good witness. Write down. Don't try to rely on memory. Only actually write down where you were, what time it was, what you saw, any description of the person, description of a vehicle. A license plate is ideal if you can get it. And all of that information is helpful even just a small bit of information sometimes helps a warden make a case. And there have been times where a violation didn't occur, but folks saw something that concerned them and they called it in, and when a warden followed up, all was okay. So if you see something you think isn't right, give a call to that hotline. That information will get passed as quickly as possible to a warden who will respond and figure out what's going on. You can remain anonymous, so that is a plus for some folks. They may ask for your first name just for the warden to be able to visit with you, but you can remain anonymous, and in some cases there are rewards available through the Wyoming Wildlife Protectors Association.
At that point, you probably can't be anonymous anymore.
Good point. I'm not sure. Yes. You know, we do have folks every year that do call in anonymously and just say, hey, I heard something, someone talking about something, or I saw something.
So that's even secondhand information. Like, I didn't actually see this, but it possibly happened. Maybe check it out.
Correct. Again, wardens rely a lot on help from the public.
Well, there's a lot of area around here, not enough wardens, right?
They have big districts. There's a lot of people in the field. They're doing the best they can for coverage to get around. But you're right. Sometimes, you know, they're not going to be everywhere all at once and see things. But sometimes other people do see things. Or, again, hear about something later that they think maybe just isn't right. And there have been cases solved with just tiny bits of information. You know, you never know where a warden may have a case going and they're missing some little bit of information and someone might have it. So, you know, the thing to keep in mind is wildlife is a public resource. It belongs to all of us. So it's a good thing when everyone's out keeping an eye out and saying something if they see something.
And I would say it's probably a wise idea not to confront the person out in the field, being that everyone has guns and some people don't really want to hear from you.
Well, again, maybe what you see isn't truly a violation. You know, some people say, oh, someone was trespassing. Well, maybe they actually had permission. You don't know. So, yeah, it's not a good idea to confront anyone, you know, when you don't have all the information. That's why it's best just to pass on whatever you think is not right, and a warden will take it from there.
All right. And then kind of going back to knowing the rules before you go somewhere, walk-in area is part of the Access Yes program. There's rules that go along with that.
Yeah, and we've got some great walk-in areas. There's a couple new ones, I think, this year. So great opportunities for folks. If you don't know what these are, walk-in areas are part of our Access Yes program. And these are parcels of private land that Game and Fish has worked with the landowner to allow public access, and each walk-in area is unique. The landowner within open seasons can set the dates that they would like folks to be able to access their property. They can choose the species that they want folks to be able to hunt. So each one being different requires that anyone you might go to, you do need to do some research. So, you know, some may allow antelope hunting but not deer. So just because you see a walk-in area doesn't mean it's open for anything you might have a license for. If you go to our website, click on the green public access tab, it will bring up several blocks, one of which is the walk-in hunting areas. And it's a statewide map. It's interactive. You can zoom in, see an area that might be of interest to you. But you do need to click on that specific one and read what are called the ranch rules. You know, they may want you to park in a certain area or things like that. So just make sure before you go, you are familiar with and can and will abide by the rules that are laid out. They're great opportunities. Just double check before you go and make sure whatever you're hunting is actually open, either, you know, for this, the landowner has allowed that species, or that it falls within the correct dates.
Well, and one of the big problems with not following the rules is then the landowners may say, well, we're just going to close this off now.
Well, exactly. You know, we want to be respectful of the property, starting with, of course, following all the rules that are lined up, but making sure you close gates. If they're closed when you go through, close them behind you. Being respectful of the property, you know, if there are roads that they have allowed travel on, make good decisions.
It's just common sense, right?
Yeah, it's common sense. If they've allowed travel on roads and it's muddy, sloppy, please
don't be a jerk.
Don't tear up the resource. Littering, of course, is a big one. Be willing to pick up other trash you see if other people have left it. You know, all of those things go a long way to just keeping these access areas open and being respectful of the property and the landowner.
Absolutely. You know, each year we talk about chronic wasting disease, and I mean, there's a lot of rules and regulations in place, like the transport of big game carcasses, to help minimize the spread.
Correct. Chronic wasting disease is a prion, so it is a protein, and it can be spread environmentally from animal carcasses. So that is the purpose of these regulations. So there are requirements in place that when you harvest an animal, a big game animal, so a deer or an elk, when you harvest it, once you've removed all of the edible portions, the legal edible portions from the field, you can leave what remains of the carcass there at the site of the kill, because that is where the animal was naturally moving. If you remove the animal from the field, take it home to process, what remains of the carcass then needs to get into an approved landfill.
So don't throw it in your neighbor's yard.
Please don't dump it along a roadway or out on public land somewhere thinking, you know, I'll let the scavengers get it. Because then you've potentially moved that disease to a place where it wasn't before. So that's the purpose of these regulations. We have some great opportunities here in Buffalo. The Bureau of Land Management, gosh, this is the third or fourth year at least that they have provided carcass dumpsters, which has been very successful. So there is one out at the Petrified Tree area, and there's one on Highway 16 going west out of Buffalo here. We also have one if you're hunting further north up by Sheridan. There's one between Dayton and Ranchester on a pullout off Highway 14. So three places. Obviously, they're dumpsters. They're out there 24/7. So on a weekend, you can process your animal, go take the carcass there. And then those are emptied weekly by professional sanitation companies, and those go into landfills. So it's really a great service, and we actually have seen a lot of decrease in carcasses that are dumped along roadways or out on properties. So appreciate everyone taking advantage of those, and certainly appreciate Bureau of Land Management providing those. It really is a great tool.
Absolutely. And so when you're testing for CWD, do you test everywhere or certain areas each year?
We changed the testing regime a few years ago. So for many years, it was blanket testing across the state, trying to identify new areas, maybe where it was spreading, and you know, get all of that information onto a map. Since it has been identified throughout much of the state at this point, the focus shifted a few years ago to a more focused look on specific herds on a rotating basis, approximately every 5 years, trying to look at select herds around the state and get as many samples as possible to get a statistically valid estimate of what is the prevalence rate. So for example, if I get 10 samples and two are positive, you think, oh, you got a 20% infection rate. But that's a very small sample. If you get 100 samples and two are positive, you're dealing with a 2% prevalence rate.
It's a little different than 20.
Exactly. So that is the purpose of this switch that we made a few years ago. So each year it rotates generally among herds. So in the Sheridan region this year, deer hunt areas 1 through 6, which are actually in the far northeast corner of the Black Hills area, that is our target area for this year. It was last year too. What we're trying to do is get at least 200 samples from buck mule deer to get that prevalence rate. So did not achieve it last year. And in some areas it does take a couple years to get to that point. So that is the focus area again this year. What that means is personnel will be in the field actively trying to get as many samples as possible. So at these check stations that we talked about earlier, they may say, hey, can we collect a sample from your animal? You're in a target area. It'd be very beneficial for us. You may get approached in the field. A warden or biologist visits with you, asks for a sample. You can certainly always give a call to the regional office. We'll get you in touch with someone that could provide a sample. So it's a big effort to try to get a lot of samples from that particular herd. Also, folks may want their animal tested outside of those areas just for their own knowledge, and we do have a lot of that. People will bring heads in pretty regular, actually. For several years now, they know to come to the Game and Fish office. We are happy to do that. We have several staff that are trained to take those samples. So you can bring either the whole animal or just the head.
And I think people might want to know whether or not their harvested animal has CWD, because it may affect whether or not they want to eat that animal.
You know, it's a spectrum. Having visited with hunters over the years, I've visited with people who are very concerned about it, other people who are not concerned about it. It's a personal decision. The World Health Organization recommends that if your animal is positive, you don't eat it. That is their recommendation. And I would certainly encourage folks to learn more about the disease. We have a lot of information on our website. About the history of it, what we know about it, how it spreads.
It seems like so far they haven't found anything specific to say, if you eat it, this is going to happen. But yet, maybe we don't know exactly what happens when you eat an animal with that.
Correct. At this time, they have not found direct evidence that people could get it. That being said, this is a disease that is being studied very widely.
You don't want to be the first one to get it, right?
So, so what happens is we take a set of lymph nodes out of the neck and we can get it processed. It does take a little bit of time. You bring your animal in, we take the sample, we collect them, and twice a week we mail down to our lab in Laramie. And these samples are coming in from all over the state. So they process as quickly as they can, but we do tell people it could be 7 to 10 days, somewhere around there. We used to send a letter directly to every hunter whose animal had a sample where CWD was detected. Now we have that information in your Game and Fish account, and all hunters now have a Game and Fish account. So you can log in at any time and check and see what your sample was, especially if you have multiple licenses. Every sample has a unique identifying number, and we give you a copy of that when you get the sample taken. And again, 7 to 10 days, just depends on how busy the lab is. We'll get that processed, get it posted to your account, whether CWD was detected or not. If it was detected, you are allowed, if you make that choice to not eat it, you can keep proof of that that notification that you got, and you can legally dispose of the meat without it being, waste or abandonment. So you just do need proof of that. So again, it's a decision. I encourage everyone to go and read about it. It's certainly something that's here to stay. We're learning as much as we can about the disease, and hunters are a big help when we have these focus areas where we're trying to learn what the disease is doing within our herds. So appreciate everyone's help sending in samples when we have these focus areas. And then again, if you want it tested just for your own knowledge, Game and Fish office, regular business hours, 8 to 5, Monday through Friday, there's always someone there who can take a sample for you. On the weekends, we do have our aquatic invasive species technicians at the Sheridan check station, as well as over in Beulah and Newcastle. They are cross-trained for the weekends to be able to take samples for folks. So should be able to, most days of the week, get your animal tested. We're trying to make that as convenient as possible for folks.
Okay. And then for late-season boaters, if they leave the state and come back, they still need to get those AIS the check stations, they need to run through one.
They do. So two things with that. The Sheridan check station in off the interstate there at the rest area across from the Game and Fish office is open Friday, Saturday, Sundays, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. through the end of October. So if you do take your watercraft out of state, one, if you come back and that check station is open, you have to stop, just like a game check station. But if you plan to launch back in Wyoming, even if the check station's not open, you must seek out an inspection before you can launch back in a Wyoming water. And you can call the Game and Fish office, make arrangements, you know, during the week. We can find someone to get that done for you. If you go to our website, there are also private inspectors around the state you can have that done at. So just a reminder, even though hours are reduced at these check stations, if you're still boating, if you go out of state with your watercraft, you come back in, you do still, before you launch, need an inspection through November 30th. Now, if you have used your watercraft on a water body that has been documented to have zebra or quagga mussels any time of the year before you launch, you would have to have an inspection done.
Okay. Yeah, definitely don't want to spread those around. Talking with Christina Schmidt, Public Information Specialist with Wyoming Game and Fish. Christina, thank you so much for taking the time.
Yes, thanks for having me.
And everybody keep those radio dials right here. KBBS.